Wisconsin Eye is on the UW-Green Bay campus. We're taping a newsmaker's interview with Chancellor Gary L. Miller. Mr. Miller, thank you for the hospitality. Really appreciate it.
That's a great pleasure to have you here.
You were installed August of 2014.
That's right.
And then a few months later, the elected officials in the Capitol gave the entire UW system a budget cut of $250 million over 2 years. Now, it was nothing you did, of course, but that's quite a welcome. But before we get to the impact of the budget cuts, talk about your realignment on campus. You had two schools, now you have four, and your campus goals, innovation, transformation in place. Can you talk about that, sir?
Yeah, and thank you for the question. This is a regional comprehensive university. It really has an obligation and an opportunity to be a player in the economy and the social structure and the condition of the population in education in this region. And so what we are trying to do is to sort of re-argue the case for a comprehensive university in this area by thinking pretty hard about how we can be innovative, how we transform the lives of students, and how we might transform opportunities in this area, and focusing a lot of attention on this place. You know, this is an internationally known city. It is a very urban environment with an emerging diversity with enormous power in that. We have a majority-minority school district in the Green Bay area. And so one of our emphases is to connect much more closely with this community, and that's the reason that we went into a discussion with the faculty and staff about reorganizing the college, the university. So now, starting July 1st, we're operating with four colleges where we had two. We have a freestanding business school, the Austin E. Coffrin School of Business, and a new business dean just arrived this morning from Oregon. We have a College of Health, Education, and Social Welfare, which aligns that part of our program with the large healthcare sector in this region. We have a Science and Technology College now, which we're very excited about, which aligns with a lot of science and technology that's connected to manufacturing and healthcare and other areas in this area. And we have a College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Science, which is very important to us because since the university was founded 50 years ago, and we celebrated our 50th year last year, it was a great celebration, a year-long celebration, this university has contributed an enormous amount to the culture of this area in art, music, dance, theater, and so by having this college and then having it around also the humanities, it gives us an opportunity to really expand those programs too. So we're pretty excited about the new structure.
What is the demographic profile of a student here at UW-Green Bay, sir?
It's surprisingly, it's very similar to other institutions. One of the differences is we have a lot of adult students in our programs. A large proportion of our students here are from families that have no history of higher education. They come from families where their parents did not get college degrees. And of course, in Green Bay, for many years with the manufacturing here, you could make a great living right out of high school. And so we call these first generation students. They're wonderful. They're fantastic. So we have a number of those. It's generally a regional institution. Most of our students come from this area of Wisconsin, although we're now recruiting heavily in other areas, particularly urban areas in the upper Midwest. And so it's a vibrant student body that represents the best of America and certainly the best of this area.
What are the most popular majors on campus, sir? And you also offer masters, and
we offer a couple master's degrees, but our popular majors are psychology, human biology, and biology, which lead to the health professions. Sociology, social work is big. We have a lot of students majoring in the social sciences, history, political science, those areas. English is a big. It's pretty similar to most institutions. The passions of these students drive their majors. And we've also found that it really matters very little what the major is with regard to how successful these students are in their careers. So somewhere in the neighborhood of 75% of our students have jobs when they graduate, and they do very well in their careers. And many of them, actually most of them, have a job in their major. So it's a strong curriculum preparing students for what is really a different kind of career world out there today.
What's your estimate of the number of, that's a curious term, first time in a family going to college?
Oh, I think it's about 69% of our students.
Is that
so
right?
Yeah, it's this area has one of the lowest degree attainment rates in the state. So going to college, if you're living around here, is not as common as, but now, most of the good jobs of the future require post-secondary education, 2-year degree or 4-year degree, and people know that, and so we see a lot of people going to college where their parents did not, and their parents are encouraging them to do that.
What are the unique needs of a first-generational student?
Yeah, that's a great question. They're generally oftentimes unfamiliar with what college is like, what kind of habits it takes that are different from high school. A lot of times they are coming from families where there aren't a lot of people with college degrees, so they're not sure what the end point is. Mm-hmm. One of the things we've observed, though, is that these are fabulous students. And when they get to the end of their career here and we talk to them about their accomplishments, it's really outstanding. And then most of them stay here, which is really good for this economy, we believe. They're highly trained, highly skilled, very successful citizens, and very proud of their degrees.
I was going to ask, how long does the average Phoenix student stay on campus, sir?
Well, it's between 4 and 6 years. You know, we measure graduation rates in the country by 6-year graduation rates. And the reason for that is that a lot of students work, a large number of our students work, so they don't take a full-time load, takes them a little longer. And a surprising number of students take more than one major, particularly these students who hadn't had families that had college degrees. They get in here and they want to major in 2 or 3 things at a time. It takes a little longer, although at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, we have the lowest average number of hours to degree of any of the comprehensives. So it's about 130 credit hours to get a degree here, which is fairly low for us. And we think that's a good thing.
Given the debate over student debt, student loans, yeah. Your average graduate has a debt of?
It's about $22,000. You got to remember, though, that national conversation really needs to be put into context. Half of that student debt in the country is generated in for-profit institutions. The rest of it is spread out over the rest of us. And when you're talking about the lifetime earnings premium on a college degree, borrowing $22,000 is a pretty good deal for many of these students because they will make a lot more money during their time in the workplace.
One of your themes is place. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about this. Is it good that the Packers are a few miles away, sir?
Couldn't be better. Okay. It's a great asset for us. So we have a close relationship with them. They are a very unique operation, and they're very connected to this community in much the same way that we are and we want to continue to be. And I think it brings a certain international reputation to the city. We don't have any trouble getting people anywhere in the country to know where we live. And their values, their community values, are very similar to ours. So it's a very unique operation, and we love the Packers. So we are, in fact, the higher education partner of the Green Bay Packers. It's the only NFL team that has one, I believe. But,
Let's talk about the $250 million cut in state aid to the UW system. What was UWGB's share of that, sir?
It was about just under $3 million.
On a budget of how much?
About $29 million. That's from the state.
Yes.
You have to remember we have about $170, $80 million budget, but part of that's tuition, part of that is money that we generate through fees and so forth, and then there's an apportionment from the state, and that's what was cut.
Yes.
In 1995, we were getting 41% of our budget from the state. Now we're getting about 14%, and that's on that chunk. You know, historically in America, higher education was funded by the university, public higher education, by a partnership between the universities, the state, and students through their tuition. And two of those sources of money from the state and tuition have declined precipitously in the last 15 years. And so it's created a lot of discussion about what a sustainable business model is for public higher education, and that's going to continue probably until, you know, until some resolution occurs. We would like for the state to start investing again in higher education, like most states in the union have since the 2008 recession. We believe that's the only way to meet the workforce needs of the future and to support a vital growing economy in the state. So we're hoping that the discussions this year and the biennial budget discussions will be very productive in that regard.
What should be the balance between state aid, tuition, fees, and fundraising, maybe from the alumni?
Right.
If state aid now is only 14% on this campus, what should it be, sir?
I can't answer that specifically with numbers, but I think that there is a balance. I think what needs to happen with regard to tuition is we need to have a rational tuition policy that gives parents some idea of how it's going to play out for that particular student. And I think that's coming. You know, the system has a tuition task force working very hard. Regent Higgins from Appleton chairs that. There are several chancellors on it. I think the expectation is their report will be out sometime in the fall, and I think that will be a very objective discussion of how tuition is handled around the country and what a rational policy should be, what kind of escalation you should expect, and we're hoping that that will then lead to the implementation of a tuition policy. We think the state, we'd like to see the state invest more in money, but there's also some other things it can do. You know, we have one of the most bureaucratized higher education systems in the country, and there are certain flexibilities that we asked for in the last biennium and that we're going to ask for again in this biennium that would really help us operate more efficiently as a business, perhaps, to help the system operate. Getting a lot of really good discussion in the legislature about that. So that would possibly be a way to go. I think that these flexibilities could help us in some instances develop business partnerships that would help our educational programs and maybe relieve some of the state the need for the state to fund. But that's the kind of global discussion that we really need to have, and I think a lot of us are encouraged by the discussions we're having now with the legislator and business people in this community that want to talk about it not just as a tuition issue, but sort of as a new funding model, a new perspective, Commonwealth perspective about higher education. And I think we're going to see some movement in the next couple of years.
There's been, as you know, a four-year freeze on resident undergrad tuition.
Right.
There's some discussion in the Capitol on continuing that to a fifth or sixth year.
Right.
What impact would continuing that freeze into a fifth and sixth year have on your campus, sir? Yeah.
Well, you know, we took the cuts we took last year took us down to the bare bones in virtually every area that we have.
Have you dropped classes?
We've dropped some. You got to remember, these are very interconnected institutions. So while we want to be as strategic as possible, we want to take money out of administration, and we want to take money where it doesn't affect students, virtually everything affects everything on a campus like this. The curricula, for example, are all interconnected. So it's not possible to excise a particular academic program and set it aside. You have to. So we have reduced things like academic advising, some student services. We have not hired key positions like CIO. We have not hired key faculty, hoping for things to give. So going into another lengthy period without tuition, particularly if it's coupled with a budget cut, would be very difficult to manage without laying people off here. And that's something that we believe is not in service to this vibrant community. And we're making that argument vigorously and in private to our legislative colleagues and business leaders.
Did you offer a severance package that some...
We did. The year before, yeah, we did. And I think about 25 of our... I think it was that... I forgot the number exactly, but they took it. his early retirement thing, and that. But you know, you lose a lot of institutional
experience,
wisdom, experience. Some of those, most of them, we didn't replace, and so we've got to worry about that. I mean, we have 365 acres of land here, and we have this summer only three people managing the grounds on this. So you've got to. There is a point where the institution is degraded. I think we're very close to that. But again, I want to emphasize we're looking to the future. We're trying to reorganize. We're trying to think about how to do things differently. We really want to provide access to the students in this community because we think we have a great product. We have a fantastic faculty and staff who are incredibly committed to their students, and in some regards that mitigates because they'll do almost anything for their students. But they haven't had a pay raise in nearly a decade, and so there are some structural challenges we have here that we need to address.
Did the faculty pass a resolution criticizing the system and the Capitol, the politicians, sir?
They passed a no confidence vote on the Board of Regents and the president. I asked them not to do this. They have every right to do it. I think it's and I think it behooves us to look carefully at the frustration that's behind that and their feelings. And we have here, and we're going to continue to do that. I think the president has been very wise in understanding this vote and the frustration that's behind it. These are highly trained people who are offering an enormous service to the state of Wisconsin, and it's very hard to imagine a vibrant economy without their partnership. And I think they were just in a legitimate and very even-handed way, at least on this campus, saying what they felt in the way they needed to say it.
You joined this campus from Mississippi. I'm curious about the different landscape, higher education in Wisconsin versus Mississippi. Your thoughts, we have 26 UW campuses, 4 years in colleges.
Right.
We have tech colleges, and then we have private colleges and universities. Does Wisconsin have more higher education than the state you came from, sir?
I came from North Carolina. I did work
a
long time in Mississippi and Kansas and California, and every state I've been in, people complain about having too many universities. And I think that is a public discussion. These universities arose because these communities wanted them. And I think there's a case to be made that they're incredibly important to these communities and to the state. And I think we're probably going to have to make that case in the future. What I see in Wisconsin is a nationally and internationally known system of higher education that's known for quality, that's known for top-notch faculty, that's known for top-notch research. People have wanted to come and work in Wisconsin for a long time. The people want to come go to school here. I would be very careful to tamper with it. We have great colleagues in the two-year colleges and the extension service where we have relationships, and that's very important to us because it gives us reach around the state. Our colleagues in the tech college system are some of our most important. NWTC here in town is and will be one of our most important partners going forward. And we have a close relationship with them as we do the local school district. So I think it's a legitimate public discussion to have. I don't think it's incumbent upon the system to have it. These universities arose because of public need and demand, and it needs to be a public discussion about.
What about the synergy, though, of the future debate? Tech colleges, 4-year UW systems. You've been in this business for a long time.
30 years.
How do you see this debate shaping? The issue is potential synergy between our tech colleges. How do you see the synergy issue shaping up in the future, sir?
Well, I think it's already started. I think most, I would say virtually all chancellors in the Wisconsin system understand the power of partnerships with these. We certainly do here, and I've seen it throughout this system. If we are given the right kind of flexibility, the right basic funding, we have a rational tuition policy, we're held accountable and given the flexibility to work, we will partner with these people because that's the really the best way for us to provide access to higher education. And we say higher education here, we're talking about two-year degrees, four-year degrees. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a school district here who needs, where we need to offer this access to a lot more people. You know, by 20, this state is going to grow in population almost entirely with people over 65 in the next decade.
We're going to be one of the oldest states.
One of the oldest states. Even if we, so just to sort of change that, even if we partnered with everybody, which we have to do, to provide access and meet the workforce needs and the technology needs and the education needs of the future, we're still going to have to attract a lot of people from out of state. And you can't, you have to have a vibrant higher education system to attract the kind of folks that we're talking about. This is part of the reason that the Packers are developing title towns, because they understand one of the things they can do is to be more of an attractor to 19, 27-year-old entrepreneurs, people who want to come and live here. So I think we understand that. Now, the discussion about these entities generally gets down to funding, and and that's one that, you know, has to be resolved at, probably at the legislature.
Does a budget cut like we're in the current state budget, does that pit UW-Green Bay against other four-year institutions, against UW-Madison, UW-Milwaukee?
Not as much as it pits us against other state priorities like, you know, transportation and things like that. We have a very collegial group. We develop a recommendation to the board about, with President Cross's leadership, about budget requests. We hash out our differences there. It's a very, the default position in Wisconsin is to partner with another institution. We have, leadership at the flagship campus that really believes in the system, Chancellor Blank. And so it's not a scramble competition among us. I think we're all concerned about the same things, and we all do our best to work together to manage these budget reductions and some other, you know, challenges that we have.
Did you have to phase out any majors, sir?
We did phase out one education major, part of an education major, but no, we're limping along with the ones we have. Now, we don't have a large portfolio here, so it's not like we had a lot to give up. But, you know, we're hoping to add some programs in the future. So, athletic training is one that we're planning for right now. We have some health programs that have been approved for planning. We're trying to match our program portfolio more with the area and these big areas. Healthcare, for example, you know, the need for healthcare workers is only increasing and will only get large. And we're right here in the middle of that, and we need to be part of that, which we are. So we will be looking at some programs in the future to roll out.
Let's talk about the next state budget, 2017-2019. Should it go beyond restoring the $2 to $3 million cut in state aid that your campus endured in the current budget? If so, how much more beyond making up what you lost?
Yeah. You know, I've been involved in discussions about that, and I think I'll wait until the board meeting in August to reveal that. But there have been some really detailed discussions about what our proposal should look like. And, you know, there are some things that we're interested in. Some of the budget cut the last time was a lapse. That is, we were not allowed to spend it for that period of time. And we'd like to have that restored. There are some flexibilities, particularly in procurement, that didn't quite get. We believe the system could save a lot of money if it had a different kind of procurement strategy. There are some flexibilities with regard to bond funding and so forth that we're discussing. You know, we're going to have this. The board will have something to say about tuition, I'm sure, and we hope that it'll have something to say about compensation as well.
Have Phoenix alumni and community backers of this campus, have they stepped up with private fundraising to make up some of what you lost?
Well, they're very generous, and they have, but what's almost as important as that is their advocacy for us. With the legislature, we have a council of trustees here It's just kind of unusual in the comprehensive institutions. It's a very high-profile group of business people. Some of them are alums, most of them are not. They work on our behalf in a very organized way. They have a committee structure. They meet regularly. We're very transparent with them. We talk to them about issues that are important to the system and are important to us, and they advocate for us with business leaders, with the legislature, with the governor. And their work on our behalf over the last couple years has been extraordinary. I think we have really benefited from this group of folks talking about the importance of this university and this community, the importance of the system, the importance of investing in higher education for Wisconsin. And they're very articulate about it, and they come at it from a very business perspective, and that really helps. When we have a new program generated by the faculty, we even take it to this group and have them look at it for us, to talk to us about how they think it fits and give us some suggestions. And so, yeah, we have a lot of support in this community. There's probably the strongest community support I've ever seen for a public university.
And if you were talking to high school graduates of the class of 2017, what's your elevator speech for why they should come to UW-Green Bay,
oh, yeah.
Chancellor?
You will get a great job, and you will be prepared for whatever job you have. And the reason is we are a completely interdisciplinary program, and when you leave here, you don't know just one discipline. You know a lot of stuff, and you know how to manage information. You know how to write. You know how to communicate. And we know this because we talk to employers about these students. We are very excited about this program. It's one of the few in the country. And whatever you major in here, you will leave here with the kind of soft skills that employers want. And remember, most of these students that leave, by Department of Labor data, will have 10 to 12 jobs before they retire. Mm-hmm. And about half of those jobs haven't been invented yet. So what we have to prepare these students for is really to be entrepreneurial in their own careers. And the way we do that is through this interdisciplinary program. And it's very successful. And so we're excited about that. We get really excited when somebody wants to come. We will talk to them get them to come.
Maybe a final question. What's at stake looking out 5 years? If 5 years from now, state aid for this institution is not 14% where it is now, but 9 or 10%, what's at stake?
Well, I think the economic future of this region is at stake. I think you have to imagine having a vibrant technology-focused economy in a global world without a public institution, or with one that's underperforming because it's not supported. I mean, I don't want to put, there's a lot of fear going out there these days, but I do think it's at a point where you have to decide. As a public, what we want the future to look like. When I look at it, it looks really bright because I expect the institution to grow, and we're going to get the support we need, and we have, and I hope that's what everybody else sees when they see us too. But it is a critical point for the region.
UW-Green Bay Chancellor Dr. Gary Miller, thank you so much for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your hospitality.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you, sir.